said, God bless this degree.
God bless God's children. Bless you all. Bless you all. Praise the Lord. I really like that song that they played tonight, the What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That is such a good old-time song, and it just so applies to what I am going to be speaking on tonight, too. That just brings a smile to my face when I realize, God, the way you orchestrate things, it's pretty cool, really, really cool. On Sunday, one of the ladies was telling me how things were going over the week. And then we came in and we were having prayer, and Sister Jerry started praying about all the things that this friend had shared with me. And she looks and goes, did you talk to her? I had no time to talk to her between the time that you told me this stuff and the time that Sister Jerry got up there. It's amazing. God knows. He knows us. He knows us. He knows us. Oh, how he knows us. Praise God. And in my case, he still loves me. Praise the Lord. He knows me and still loves me. Oh, we have to remember that, don't we? That if he loved us so much before we even came to him, what gives us this thought that, oh, he hates me now. I'm not doing good enough. I'm not doing good enough. No, he still loves us. He cares so much for us. We'll start with the title page, if you would. We're going to be going to John chapter 15, Ye Are the Branches. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, I do thank you again, God, for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. God, to look into your word and be reminded again. We come here, Lord, just to be encouraged, just with one another being here, Lord. We're all on the same path looking to you, Lord Jesus, on our way to heaven, Lord. And we are here, Lord Jesus, God, to hear something of your word, Lord, to be encouraged again for each and every day that we walk with you. I just love you so much and thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. So, ye are the branches. Jesus made this statement to his disciples after their Passover meal. You know, they had sat down with him. They had the nice Passover meal with him. And after the Passover, they had a little bit of time together before he was going to be betrayed, before he was going to be taken away by soldiers. So this portion of his last words to them was pretty important. It was something that he wanted to remind them of before everything came down, right? Before all the troubles started, before he was going to be crucified. He wanted them to understand, have this understanding of who they really were. They are chosen. The disciples were chosen by Jesus himself. They were special. But he knew that things were going to be happening. He wanted them to understand how important it would be for them to abide in him. Remember him. Stay close to him. Think about what he's taught them. He knew the trouble was coming, and it was just really close. The disciples, they didn't understand what was going to happen, how it was all going to come about, but Jesus knew. And he knew that they weren't going to comprehend everything, but he wanted to remind them again and again that you need to abide with me. So he tells them, slide 2, John 15:5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We all know that, right? Without God, we can do nothing. Amen, amen. He makes that statement that he that abideth in me and I in him. You know, so many things. They were confused so many different times. Jesus would say things, and they would just go, I'm going to ask him about that later because I can't figure out what he's talking about. And I feel like this is one of those times, too. John chapter 15, this portion of Scripture, it really has so many analogies connected to it, and it has been preached over and over and over again from different points of view and things. But I'm going to be looking tonight about what does it mean to be the branch. Of course, Jesus is the vine, but we are the branches. So what does that really mean? And as it's stressed over and over again, you're going to hear this word a lot tonight. A branch must abide in him. I'm going to slide 3. Anybody see what that is? When I was looking for pictures for this presentation, I was like, that is so cool. I don't know if it reminds you of the same thing. What came to my mind when I saw those sitting out there like that was, isn't that how we all are when we come to God? Just skinny little sticks. Little. And you think about, when you look at that, think about the faith. There's just a little bit of faith there. And let's see. The one on the right, way on the right. There's just one little tiny root sticking out at the bottom there. It does have some leaves at the top, but at the bottom there's just little tiny roots there. And that's what we're like when we come to God. We have a little bit, because when we first come to church, we have to have a little bit of faith. And then God takes that, and he wants to do something with that. Those little things are so fragile, but God takes care of us. What does he do with those helpless little stems? He's the expert husbandman. Side note. You all understand what husbandman means, right? Like a farmer, right? Kind of old word, right? I wanted to get some synonyms and stuff from it and everything, and so I looked it up on my computer, and it said it couldn't be found. I go, what? Am I that old that the husbandman isn't in the dictionary anymore? But as Sister Kim knows back there, you got to look in the old dictionaries, right? Don't just trust the computer. AI will hide some things from you. Get your old dictionary out and look it up. Husbandman is a word. Although AI couldn't find it. I had to go tell my husband, can you believe it says it's not even a word? I was not happy for sure. But anyway, the father of creation, he is the greatest husbandman there ever was. He's the greatest vine dresser there ever was. So he'll take those saplings. He took each and every one of us, and he carefully nourishes them. He protects them. He supports them. Even in our weak state, he takes us. And he has such a mind of promise. I was helping Alyssa in her garden the other day, and as I was planting things, and I'm going, oh, yes, it's going to do really good right there. These plants are going to do really good. They don't always do good, but we got to go with hope, right? And that's what Jesus has. He has hope for us. He can see the potential in each and every one of those little twigs up there, those sprigs. He knows that they can become mature plants. Now, just like a seed that's put into the ground, none of us totally understands what happens to that seed. How do you describe the growth that happens? How do you describe a person that grows, a baby? How does a baby grow? It's all in God, isn't it? It's all in God. He is the life, and he has all power to give life. So in back to our portion of scripture, verses 1 through 8 in John 15, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches that will mature if we abide in his spirit. Let's go ahead and read it, slide 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Next. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. 6 and 7, 8. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Thank God for his word. Okay, so what exactly is Jesus saying here? Slide 7. What is he saying? So he is saying to be the disciple, if you, from these little verses here, to be his disciple, you have to abide with him. Okay, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be abiding with him. 2, they will glorify the Father. The disciple will glorify the Father. The disciple will be able to ask what they will, and it will be done unto you, done unto them. When you're so close to Jesus, you're going to be able to ask for things, and it's going to happen for you. What else do they do? To be a disciple, you have to bear fruit. That's one of the signs of being a disciple, is bearing fruit. And then 5, they will be purged or pruned to bring more fruit. So we do get pruned. No matter what stage we're in, there is pruning to be done. Now, next slide. If no fruit is found, the branch is taken away. If a man doesn't abide in him, in Jesus Christ, he said, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So it's very important that we stay with Jesus. We abide with him. He was adamant with them to understand that they needed to abide with him. He's trying to prepare them. I'm going to be going away, but you're going to be able to abide with me. There are going to be things that happen, but you can still abide with me. It's like, don't forget me. Don't forget me. He knows what's coming ahead, but he's telling them, don't forget me. You need to abide in me. Slide 9. Okay. So this slide, it tells the first 3 years of a sapling, you know, the twigs that I showed you over there on the left-hand side in the corner. That's where it's first planted. And in the summer, it has a lot of leaves on it. It actually grew a lot. That's what, as I was studying this and stuff, vines, you might even know, you might have some at home yourself. These vines grow pretty fast in the summer. They do grow. So they go from a little twig to big branches and then have leaves on it. But when it comes to winter, it gets pruned down to almost nothing, all the way down to the trunk. Now, that's the definition, too. The vine itself is the trunk part of a grapevine, and then the branches come out from the vine. So all the branches are not considered the vine, I guess, or there's this overall idea of the vine, but really the trunk itself is called the vine. So it's cut back, way back in the first winter. And then the second summer, boy, you can see how it's gotten quite a bit bigger. And there's actually some fruit on it. Little bit of fruit, not a whole lot, but there is some. And if you notice between these different pictures how much the vine is getting bigger. And to me, that just tells me that's how much closer you're getting to God. If we're taking this analogy of we are the branches, but our connection to God gets bigger and bigger. When we're first planted, it seems like there's just a little bit there. We don't have a lot of faith in him. We don't know a lot about him or anything. But as every year goes by, it gets stronger and stronger. And in that second winter pruning, isn't that drastic? Look at how drastic that got cut back. And that's really what they do in these vineyards. They cut them back so drastically. And yet, look what happens that third summer. Isn't that amazing? That's just a lot of fruit there, a lot. And then the winter pruning I thought was interesting too, because those branches, they get trained to go along those wires, the supports. God always gives us support, and we're supposed to be supported by him, and he trains us. We are supposed to be connected to those wires so that we don't fall down. That was something I didn't put in my notes, but I thought it was interesting. There are some branches that get kind of loose, and they fall to the ground, and they can get moldy or get some type of bugs in them and stuff. And when I was reading about it, they said, oh, those must be ones that you cut off right away. And they said, no, that doesn't mean that. If the branch itself is pretty good, but the leaves are getting kind of beat up, we carefully wash it off. We carefully put it back where it's supposed to be. Isn't that like Jesus too? When we get in trouble, he picks us up. He washes us off. He wants to get us back on track to be where we're supposed to be. So there is a lot of growth. We see in those pictures here that there is a lot of growth, but there is a lot of pruning also. And this is part of the abiding, the growing and the cutting back. So what I want to go to slide 10, talking about what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Pointing out just in verses 4 to 7, Jesus uses the word abide 7 times. In 4 verses, he uses abide, 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 abide. Tonight when you leave, you're going to know, I need to abide. I need to abide in Jesus. So what are some actual definitions for the word abide? Is to remain stable or fixed in a state. Yeah, that goes along with the pictures, doesn't it? To remain stable, fixed, stay where you are, stay with the vine. And then it's also to conform to the bending, conform to whatever the vine dresser is trying to do, abide in that. So some other definitions or ideas that we could say abiding in Jesus would mean is, obviously, to keep in fellowship with him. Stay close to him. Stay close fellowship with him. Another one is to keep in the word. The word is so important to us. We are so privileged. I'll say it again and again. We are so privileged to have the word of God. And we can find out things, how God feels about things, and we are just so blessed. Read the word to abide in Jesus. In fact, in verse 3 of our John 15, it says that the word is going to keep us clean. This is what keeps us clean. God can wash us through his word. Another step to abide in him would be to confess any sin so that it doesn't break our communion with him. of course, just come honestly before Him. He loves us. He wants to forgive us. His word says that He will forgive us if we confess our sins. So we need to come to Him. That thing to keep in fellowship with Him. To remain, oh yes, to remain stable or fixed. Mm-hmm. And then number four, to be obedient so that we don't hinder our relationship with God also. Somebody in my studying this week, they had made mention of, you know what it's like for your kids when they know that they've done wrong and they will keep their distance from you? They'll go hide in their room, or they'll just find different places to be. They don't want any possibility of you finding out what they've done, right? Well, if we're obedient to the Lord, then we don't have to hide anything. And if we have been disobedient, just confess it and get back with Him so that you can abide with Him. Abiding with Him means learning of Him, learning His perspective of what is good, right, and true. We can't come up with our own thoughts. It's not in us. It's His way is the best way. So we have to figure out His perspective of things. And then abiding also requires worship, prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost is so important. Pray so that His Spirit can uplift you. His Spirit, the Word says that His Spirit will intercede for us. If you don't even know how to pray, He can intercede for us. And then, of course, there's sacrifice and there's service, doing things for the kingdom of God. Let's go to slide 11. I know this is a big one and you can't hardly see it, but I thought it was interesting. On the side here it says, much care is taken to grow a fruitful branch. The vine dresser is consistently interested in the health of his plantings. You think about the vine dresser, the farmer that's going through. It's supposed to be their job every day to go down and check different rows to see how things are coming along. And that's what the Lord does in us also. And then pruning the branch is important to bring ripe fruit. I'm going to try to, I know you can't see that very well, but it really is a pretty good graph there. Every month, it's broken, this circle is broken down to every month, things that the farmers should be doing to keep an eye out on them. So if we start up at the top, on the right-hand side, first thing it says is pruning. There's more pruning to be done. The things that God wants to prune from our lives are ourself, right? That's the first one, ourself. Self needs to be pruned out. It's not me. It's His kingdom that we're living for. Abiding in Him is, it's not my ways, it's His ways. So that pruning is like a constant. And then in February, there's more trimming. He's going to cut off some shoots, maybe to go plant somewhere else. There's going to be plowing done. The ground is going to be pulled up. These are all analogies to how God does for us, too. He wants us to be fruitful in our walk with Him. And these are things you find most of the year is not fun for the vine, not fun for the branches, because there's a lot of pruning, a lot of training, a lot of things that the vine dresser is going to go and work on. And that's what it can be in our walk with God, too. He's always trying to get us to a new place in Him so that our lives are fruitful. Fruitful not just for us, but for the kingdom of God and for others. For others. So we've got going through the cycle. There's more plowing. There's more trellising. There's more debuddering. Debuddering. Debudding. they don't put butter on the vines. No, no, no. They take buds off. Then there's a flowering time, which is very, very pretty and very, very important, because that's the time that the bees come and pollinate and everything. And then there's more trimming. You got to get the leaves out of there. And then there is, I don't have my notes for that. Just more trimming. And then there's the time where the grapes start coming out, and they're just little tiny things, but the vine dresser goes through and checks them. They do tests on them. They'll pick a few and test to see their if they're too acidy, or all these different things that they check on them. And then comes the harvest time around September, checking for the maturity of the grapes and how well they are. And then after the season, you know, they'll do all the harvesting around September or so. And then the leaves start falling off, and the branches are left alone again. In November, there they sit, getting ready for December pruning again. It's just a constant. The vines seem to always need tending. Isn't that what it is with us too? Sister Janie and I kind of joke back and forth, because in our prayers we say, God, I'm just so needy. I'm so needy. And he knows. He tends to us. He takes care of us. He knows the needs of our life. Just like the vine dresser is there. The vine dresser doesn't come just once a year to check on things. He's there all the time. Slide 12. Ephesians 4, 22, 23, 24, and then Colossians, pruning. That pruning is a necessary thing to have fruit, to have the good fruit. You can have fruit without the pruning, but it's not going to be the good fruit. So abiding in Jesus and to be his disciple, that pruning is necessary. And in Ephesians 4, 22, it reads, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So branches, abide in Jesus, put on his spirit, his mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this pruning in our lives and our walk with God is that cutting away ourselves, cutting away the old ways, our old thoughts, the old things that we do, that old man, get rid of it. And then in Colossians, it says, Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10, but now ye also, again, put off all of these. Put off what? Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. That's what that pruning part is again. It's so important in our walk with God to keep checking ourselves. What are the things that I need to prune out of my life? And verse 10 goes on to say, and have put on the new man, that abiding in Jesus, putting on the new man, abiding in him, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, let's go to slide 13. Boy, that looks pretty, doesn't it? The vine dresser wouldn't think that looks so good, though. And it's because it's too busy. It's too clogged up. The air can't get into that. The sun can't get into that. The water can't get into it. All those leaves, it's making a canopy, keeping away the things that the vine needs, that the branches need. So they have to be cut back. And it was said in my studying that if those branches are not pruned, they revert very quickly back to the wild nature, climbing just everywhere. And they get long trunks here and there with the scraggly bunches of uneven grapes. They're no good. that you will get grapes here and there, and all through those leaves there's going to be some grapes, but they're not going to be good grapes. So if God doesn't prune us, same thing. We can revert to our old ways really quick. Our carnal nature takes over really fast. If you put off prayer for weeks and weeks and weeks, you're going to find out you get angry pretty quick and you get offended real easy. And these are things that happen when we don't stay close to Jesus.